Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. We just wanted to start this episode with a bit of a warning. We taped it, a week ago when the country had a very different tone, and you're going to hear that in this episode. We're making jokes. We're making light of dating. We're doing what this show does, but we wanted to start this episode by giving a warning to anyone that, you know, isn't in the mood for a lighter podcast about dating. Since we taped it a week ago, you might feel that it's inconsistent with the tone of the country, and we want to make sure that you're fair warned, and if you want to push this off for another time, Jordan and I would totally understand and not be hurt by that. And if this can also offer you some bit of levity during a really dark time, we both hope that we can do that for you too. But, you know, I think I could speak for Jordan. And, you know, we support the Black Lives Matter movement. We support the protests that are going on. We support the movement that's happening. I personally feel for so many people that are hurting right now, and it hurts me that they're hurting, and it's really a tough time, and we want to show our support for anyone that's out there protesting and, you know, a part of what's going on right now. And Jordana?
Yeah, again, obviously, I totally agree. I support the movement as well. I think we're very much on the same page in that way. This podcast obviously has a much lighter tone than those issues. Those aren't things we typically touch on, but we felt it was really important to talk about that today. And to also just, like, again, let you know that the episode is the same sort of light, breezy tone that it usually has, which is not necessarily in line with the tone of the country right now. And we understand and recognize that.
Yeah, and we hope you enjoy, if you do enjoy, and hope that it can, you know, again, as I've said a lot of times on this show, a podcast is a chance to put your brain on the shelf and put your anxieties in the shelf and kind of let Jordan and I take the wheel. So if we can do that for you and take the wheel for you today, that's great. If it's not the day for us to do that for you, that's fine too. But we just want you to enjoy the show and, you know, just let you know that kind of the tone that you're walking into.
Hello and welcome to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you?
I'm great. I'm still in South Carolina. We took a little day trip to Savannah. It's like 45 minutes from here, so I'm getting the full Southern experience.
How was Savannah? Any feedback? That's a big drinking town, I think.
It is. It was like a little weird vibe. I'm sure it had quarantine to do with it. Very much like there weren't that many people there, which was nice because, like, you know, easy to keep your distance, but really beautiful area. I really liked it. Very quaint.
Yeah, I think that's like the deal with everywhere. It's like it's kind of ghostly, kind of weird. Like if anyone went to New York City right now, they'd be like, there are people here, but it's definitely not what it
right
normally is.
It's definitely off. Yeah, I don't know what Savannah's normally like, but I mean, I assume it's probably more crowded than how I saw it. It was definitely like, yeah,
I could bank on that.
How was Montauk?
So I was supposed to go to Florida Sunday morning with Jess, stay at my parents. The night before, my parents receive an email from there. Like, they're like in a community. So, like, you know, now they have like a third government to deal with. They have state, federal, state, and Jew, you know, government, you know, for their, you know, like they're like, you know, Florida community.
Right.
And so they get an email from the community being like, anyone coming in can't use the sidewalks. And then my mom
can't
calls
use
me.
The sidewalks.
You can't use the sidewalk. Like, you got to quarantine for 14 days. And like, my mom is like, I don't know if you can come. They're going to be so many people. They're going to be talking about me. And then my dad's yelling at my mom about caring that people would talk about her. You know, like, my dad's mad at my mom because my mom cares about the social ramifications of Jess and I coming down to Florida. So it's like this big, weird line of yelling. It's It's my dad yelling at my mom for caring, my mom yelling at me because people might care, and then me yelling at my dad for not understanding that my mom. So it sounded like the Costanzas more than I've ever heard my family. Like, it was like, I was like, and by the end, I was like, I'm not, I don't want to come for to deal with you. The community doesn't matter to me. I don't want to have to do this conversation all the time.
I feel like that's sort of like a microcosm of what's going on now, though. Like, there's like this weird tension of like everyone like kind of judging everyone else, but also like wanting to be safe, but also like not wanting to be like a lunatic, but also like, do you know what I mean?
Well,
and like, and no one's really sure if what they're doing is like totally okay.
Totally agree. All of us. If I'm not sure and you're not sure what's right, then again, my theory of everyone's 10% away from each other stands. You can't be 100% more knowledgeable of how to be than me. So I totally agree. It's like, it's this weird thing of like, you know, everyone wants to be on team good. So they rationalize whatever thing. I mean, we get these emails all the time to connect this to dating. People are like, well, I'm going to meet this guy at his apartment because he's been in his apartment for 2 weeks and I've been in my apartment for 2 weeks. It's like, you're not the CDC, bitch. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I agree with what they're saying. I do agree with them. I'm like, hey, you tried your best.
Right.
Like, I'm on board with try your best.
Right. Everything's a risk, has some level of risk, unless you're literally locking yourself in your apartment, never leaving, never getting anything ordered in because that's touched by someone. It's like everything is a little bit of risk. And I think everyone needs to like take a deep breath and like avoid the super, super risky stuff and like try to like, you know, maintain a sense of like non.
Listen, we live craziness. To judge, you know, like you and I, we live to like talk shit and have fun with it. That's kind of like what this podcast is all about, is like lovingly talking shit about people who we think are acting stupidly. But like, this idea of like putting these people to trial, it's like, I tweeted about this over Memorial Day. It's like this brand of person who will tell you they've already had it, even though they've never been tested, and then that for some reason frees them up to judge someone who's doing social distancing, quote unquote, worse than them. And it's like,
it's
now
this crazy,
I'm a good person.
New world order. And it's like, I mean, I read this article that was just like, abstinence only sex education like doesn't work, right?
The
schools where they have abstinence only, like there's a much higher rate of like pregnancies and like STIs and like all that stuff. So like we have to sort of look at the same approach for let's like quarantining, social distancing stuff. Like the absolute 100% safety thing like is very unattainable. We need to like let people do what they do in a safe way.
Totally.
So, but I think it's a very tense time.
Well, it's very tense. You don't know what's going to trip people up, get people mad. I mean, then you have and here's the thing, and we've talked a lot about it in this podcast, where like you can sound very right without being good. So like saying people are dying is the right thing to say. That doesn't make you a good person. That doesn't mean you're trying. That doesn't mean you're actually taking action. And it bothers me because, you know, I'm in Montauk. We go, you know, and listen, I'm living in luxury issues. None of my problems are real problems. I understand that. But like, it is funny that I see people on a daily basis, like the, you know, the quarantine and the idea of social distancing. They're like, you know, the coronavirus is being used as an excuse no matter what, like just to be a bad person. Like I had some dude on Twitter was like, saw that I went and got ice cream the other night, and some dude on Twitter just wrote to me, "What'd you get at the ice cream place?" And I was like, "What?" Like, that's a fucking creepy tweet.
Yeah.
Like, I'm literally eating the ice cream as I'm reading Twitter mentions, "How's your ice cream, man?" And it's like, I wrote him, I was like, "Hey, thanks for scaring the shit out of me. Can you just say hi? This is a weird way to say hi, you know?" Like, and he's like, and his response was like, and I understand this response. He goes, I don't know with what's going on. I don't know what the procedure is for saying hi to someone. And it's like, not scaring the shit out of them.
I'm here.
And it's like, just because there's a virus, now it seemingly feels that everyone's worst behavior is also like is also blamed on coronavirus. So like, even when people are being assholes, they're like, well, with the virus, we get, like when you go to a restaurant and they're like, you have to wait outside. And you're like, you could still say that. Right. In a way that's not, you know, like militant.
You could ask someone to stand a little further away from you in like a calm, relaxed way. That's not like, do you know what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. And it feels like that's the tension that's happening right now.
Right. But it's funny because like here, I mean, like we went to a Walmart and we're like the people who are like most intensely wearing masks.
Sure.
So it's like, we're the people who are making everyone uncomfortable. Whereas like in New York, I feel like I'm like not on like this end of the the most conservative end of the spectrum. But it's just funny.
It does feel like the attitude is county to county. So like, you know, like it's like, you know, I would be like in Europe, like nowadays, like a year ago, I'd be like, in Europe, they don't give you a lot of ice in your water. And you'd be like, wow, Europe's so different. And now it's like in Suffolk County, Long Island, they don't wear masks. You know, like it'd be like, it's that type of, you're talking about these places, right. Like it's like another country.
Everyone thinks they've got the intel.
Yeah. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, bowlandbranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
What are we talking about today, Jordana? And also, listen, for anyone listening to this podcast, we love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That basically, the whole way this works is word of mouth. If you enjoy our podcast, tell a friend, tell a friend,
share
tell
it.
A friend.
Rate, share review, it. And subscribe.
Rate, review, subscribe. These are all, like, I had someone DM me for advice. And listen, I'm okay. I'll definitely give someone my time. But they were giving me, asking advice about starting a podcast. And, you know, I have my thoughts on podcasting. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm sure you do too.
That's how I got into it from you.
From me. So I wrote back with some thoughts, and then I looked to their account and I'm like, not following me. And I'm like, I know this is the smallest thing in the world, but like,
right. The minute you got to show support.
Also, when you start a podcast or start anything on social media or start any type of creative endeavor, your idea of what currency is changes. Our idea of you guys paying us for this podcast doesn't include you, you know, using money. You can like a post, you can share it, you can tag a friend. I consider that all currency. So we really appreciate it if you do it. And if you don't, we would ask you to do that and tell a friend. So thank you, thank you, thank you to people who have. And this is also a spiel to encourage you to keep doing it. So what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about a DM that you got, not about asking you for podcast advice. I actually feel like you like almost invented podcasts. Like you were doing podcasts way before they were like, cool.
Well, so when I started doing podcasts and started mine, I thought I was late. So I was like, I think I was early to listen and kind of right in the, it didn't feel like I was early when I started my podcast.
I kind of felt like you were early.
It wasn't
as mainstream. Yeah.
I've heard it from other people before, but I was a user of the actual platform. I've listened to other podcasts and I love listening to like talk radio. So it was kind of an easy transition for me. So, you know, now it's like, now that there's so many and like, now it's like kind of, and especially like this past couple weeks with like, you know, Spotify paying crazy amounts of money to Joe Rogan. Now it's like, now my grandmother's like, how's the podcast doing? Like, you know, like, you
right.
know, like
suddenly everyone
change.
Wants in. Yeah.
Suddenly everyone wants in. Everyone's like, oh, I guess everyone gets 500 million. It's like, no, I'm still waiting for my phone call. So, no, but I'm a lover of the medium. So,
yeah, sorry to digress. You did get a different DM. But
I got a different, but I get DMs a lot and I would encourage you to send into the email. Well, basically this person, I was like, send it in. To a lot of people, I say that. I'm like, hey, they'll write out a long thing. I think this would be great for the show. And I say, send it in. And,
right.
you know, Jordana
you
will make
question,
a decision.
Yeah. If you have a dating question, just email it in. It's the best way for us to stay organized, to create our, you know, we produce the show, we create these outlines, and they're just easier if they're all sent to one place. So if you have a question, don't DM it. Not to say we don't like getting DMs from you, but it's just easier for us if you email it into the podcast, UUP@Betches.com.
UUP@Betches.com. And the other, it is funny, like we did the happy hour. Now we're taping this after we did the happy hour, right?
I think we did the live, the U Up Live at home.
We did the U Up Live at home, and thank you to everyone who came. But it's funny, like the day of, people are like, use this on it. It's like, we prepare. Like, we have like a whole show here.
Like, yeah, they get like 5 minutes before, like, I've got a question for you. Right. Like, we have an art team. We have like a art and design team. They don't like throw things up there. It's good for you, for the shows. Like, you guys,
absolutely.
You know, you guys get a produced show, like we say, but it's not having random people's questions thrown up at the last minute. But we do love that you guys participate. We got so many submissions for that show,
and
I think it was such a fun time.
Such a success.
So definitely keep emailing. Yeah.
Such a success. Such a like a good reason to like kind of change up your day. You know, like we had a blast doing it. There's definitely things we can do to change it, make it better. We're going to do more. So thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who came. So what's the topic?
The topic is when you have a right to call someone out on something or when you should let things go.
Got it.
So this girl DMs.
This is a big thing, you know, talking about social media wise, where people are like, should I call them out? When do you think you should call someone out, Jordana? Like, when is it worth it?
Maybe that should be a whole segment.
I mean,
right.
I get asked this all the time. It always comes down to, like, should I call them out? I'm like, well, I mean, you're wasting your time with them, too. Like, anytime it comes down to, like, should I call them out, it always seems like, and I don't think this is the case for this one, but it does seem like it's a mess of their own that they've been a part of creating.
Right. I think there's a lot of things to consider when deciding whether or not to call someone out. One is thinking of the thing from the other person's side and thinking about realistically how much they owe you, like on any level. Two, like, I mean, we should probably get into the actual email, but I think two is also like, am I looking at this rationally or is this a gut reaction thing? Like whenever I think of like fights with Mike. So I think about anything that bothers me with him. Like, what I used to do is just get really irritated in the moment and like say and like kind of blow it up.
Yeah.
But what I've learned to do, I think, over the years is like, let's say he does something that annoys me or he says something that annoys me, which happens in relationships. I give it an hour. I say, okay, this was kind of annoying. I'm not sure if I want to start something.
Man,
I'm gonna give it. That's gonna give it an hour.
That's gonna be a fun hour for him. Just waiting. You're like, no, I'm fine.
I'll go do my own thing. I'll give it an hour. I'll go do my own thing. I'll like chill out for a second. If in an hour it's still bothering me, I'm calmer by then and more rational, and I can like look. I can like bring it up in a way that's not like fueled by like this like tense anger. I can bring it up in a way that's much more rational than if I just gut reacted in the moment.
Yeah,
so I think that's been really helpful for me. But I also, you also again have to like, it's really hard to do is to put yourself in the other person's shoes and be like, if I was this person and I did this, would it be that fucked up?
Sure. Yeah. And I think when it comes to like relationships, like the take an hour away from it and then you can discuss it like in a more normal way is helpful. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to someone that you're like talking to online, like whether that be a dating app or someone who responds to your Instagram stories and it's bothering you, like you can, like, I think like I always kind of like try to live by like, don't take anything personally. I'm enough of a narcissist. I'm enough of a narcissist to think that everything's about me, but I'm also have enough awareness to remind myself that not everything's about me.
Actually, you know, like almost like nothing is about you, really.
Nothing. No, as much as you think things are about you, the other person thinks things are about them. So they're doing this. They have the same level of narcissism as you.
Right. People do things because of like, that's just the way that they do things. It rarely has anything to do with you. It's not personal. So I think like also having that thing is like, why, again, we've talked about this. Like, why are you doing this to me? Is more like, why do you do this?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I've responded to people's Instagram stories that I wanted to hook up with. Yes. I've also responded to Instagram stories of people I didn't want to hook up with. Let's read this
so they can have a little context. So she says, the guy I've been talking to for almost 3 months sent me a screenshot and accidentally got a girl who's snapping his name in it. Obviously, I looked her up. Happens to be a model. I'm annoyed. Was this an accident that he didn't retake the screenshot or did he leave it because it doesn't matter? And then she sends the thing. Basically, he sent a screenshot to her. The little Snapchat sign with the girl's name pops up on it.
Mm-hmm.
In the screenshot. So he sent her if that's unclear, I think that's pretty clear the way I explained it, right? She goes, in 2 months of talking, is in quarantine, so I haven't met many friends. So if it was a friend, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the sleuthing end of it.
You think she can call him out?
I don't understand what's to, I guess to call out, like, again, like, what are we calling a model? Is it a woman with a million followers and are they screenshotting something they've put up on their stories and the guy's relating and the guy thinks of her in a way that she's like this celebrity and not, you know what I mean? The quote unquote model, like take away Instagram and you're not a model anymore, you know, like that, you know, meme. And it's like, I do, there's levels to these things. Like let me just say this though.
Okay.
The idea that I will say a lot of men are not thinking second level on these things. And if they are, it won't be the only time you feel like they're thinking second level. So when it comes to like, you know, if the question was like, hey, is he showing me that he talks with a model to show me that he's model worthy? I'd be like, yeah, well, that's a possibility. That guy's also fucked up and you'll see it in other ways.
Or is he showing her that he's has a Snapchat from a model just to say like almost inadvertently, like this isn't an exclusive thing. I'm not taking this that seriously. That was like kind of where her head was at. Like, is he showing this to me to sort of send me a message? Like in the way that a guy would talk about like going on a date with another girl.
I think guys are way more clumsy and I think women need to stop looking I don't know if I talked about this with you, but like the way having a girlfriend made me realize that the arguments that women have with each other are so much more multi-layered than any argument I've ever been with a friend of mine.
It's because we're like four steps ahead of you.
You guys are playing, like, you guys are have war on three fronts, like air, water, and land. Like, there, you know, there are wedding pictures being put up for one person. There's, you know, there's like, and sometimes I'm like, I can't believe I'm now brought into this battle. Like, I can't believe the second level, you know, war, you know, like,
I mean,
passive
you watch,
aggressive warfare. Yeah, what
you watch Real Housewives of New York, right?
Yeah, like, I've that's seen it. One, yeah.
Yeah. It's that's why we love it. It's like that's our Super Bowl. That's yeah. Like, I mean, guys don't. I don't think they. And I, you know, every I'm with two guys in a house right now. They're like, what do you get out of this show? It's just these women like screaming at each other. I'm like, you don't understand. It's like about the message that was sent in episode one, and then like. She interpreted it to be like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
sure.
It's part of, I don't know. It's so fun.
Yeah. Well, that's why, like, I just think like when I watch those Real Housewives things and I do notice the layered tier, that's why like Real Housewives of New York, those first three seasons, like I loved them. I was like, wow, this is,
it only gets better.
This is Shakespearean. Like to watch Bethany Frankel go from a one bedroom apartment that I live in to being a billionaire is fucking crazy, and the way she did it is like actually like is like feudal, like taking over land and taking over property and relationships. And so when I see that, I'm like, I just know men, I personally have never operated on that second level of like, ooh, let me send her a screenshot where it has a quote unquote hotter girl that she can see that I associate with hotter girls. And it's like, no, I've never done that before. It's always like, it's always like text or don't. And it's like,
right.
And it's like screenshot. And like, to me, that's why my first thought is like, when he sends a screenshot, is this an Instagram story? Is this a story of a model he looks at to fantasize about? And it has nothing to do with her. And he's sending her a thing about a concert. Like, he's sending her a thing about something I would think that she would want to do with him. So, like,
right.
That's why, like, when we give advice here, I'm always, like, whenever I give the advice, it's always, like, okay, here's what you can say to put the ball in his court. He either does something or he doesn't. And it's, like, I think a lot of men operate on that, like, I do because I want. It's not, like... Right. I text because I want. It's I do because I want.
Yeah, I feel like the most guys will like think into how things are perceived is like, you know, they have a nice car and they're like, well, she's going to be impressed by this. It's very like almost like caveman level of thinking. It's not like four levels ahead.
It's so caveman. It's actually like hilarious and embarrassing. So like like the idea that like I'm getting, you know, that we get emails that are like, hey, he slept over and now he's texting less. And it's like, yeah, he was talking to you because he wanted to fuck. He fucked. Now he's talking to you less because he wants to fuck less. Right.
That sums up like 20% of the emails that we get.
That's it. And it's like, right. and it's like, you know, the reality is like, if you don't take it personally and you just say, like, I do think a lot of the women that email us are the honest party. Like, they're being so honest that it's kind of, like, ridiculous. Like, they're so honest. They're like, all I want to do is get to know you more. All I want to do is go on dates. I want to, like, keep this progressing and get to know you more and more and more. And it's like...
Right. I agree. We are honest because, like, the system is set up that, like, the honest way is, like, the respectable way.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, everyone's on... no one's on dating apps, or very few people are on dating apps being, like... I'm just looking to hook up and that's like it. They sure. Don't say that. Everyone's on dating apps, like at least giving the illusion of them wanting to like find a relationship or find like a real date.
Well, that,
I feel like the societal system is set up so that that's sort of like what everyone thinks everyone wants, even if it's not true.
Well, if you want to get laid, the problem is if you want to get laid on a dating app, you have to act like you're looking for a relationship.
Well, that's why I'm saying that's why we're more honest, because we're like, yeah, like of course, like we're under operating under that assumption. And men, it seems like, are allowing us to operate under that assumption, but not necessarily having that mindset.
Well, this is kind of back to where like these apps have become a crutch for losers to act like studs. This comes back to, like, this is a theory I've been working on for 7 years now, where it's like, and I have been guilty of that. I have been on the dating apps being like, yeah, I'm here while I'm taking a shit, swiping, because I'd like to fuck at some point in the future. It wasn't because I was like, oh my God, who will I find today? So like a lot of these people, you know, a lot of people are like, should I call someone out? It's like, what are you calling out? Like, oh, they said they were looking for someone. And it's like, there's a lot of people that'll be like, you know, like the men ask, what are you looking for on the app? Because they want to make sure that you'll say casual. The women ask, what are you looking for on the app? Because they want to get you signed up, so have receipts on what you said. They want to say, well, you said you were looking for something. It's like, so when you, that question's stupid now because guys have learned the answer to give. All you have to say to that question is, hey, I'm looking for something serious, but until then, I just want to take things slow and be casual, and we'll see how things work out. And it's like, that's not exactly a lie, but it's also not honest.
Right. I mean, it's just like,
that's why we're on.
I'm saying back to your original point, like that's why we're honest.
But this guy, she writes, this is a guy I've been talking to for almost 3 months. He is not thinking of you the same way. He's not thinking of the girl I've been talking to for 3 months. You're one of the girls he texts with that could hypothetically fuck him. He has no...
Right. Well, now the illusion of like exclusivity is now kind of like has some tears in it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You know, it's the question is like, is quarantine dating hard, or is it hard to be put face to face with a lot of guys who are just going along so that they can have sex? You know, like
when are they having sex?
In the future, guys are penny. You have to
least of our concerns. Is like when are we having sex?
We're collecting a mutual fund of penny stocks. When we talk to people on dating apps, what you have to understand is when I have talked to girls on dating apps, it was to collect enough women that I could hypothetically at some point be in my catalog of people to have a fun night with that's casual.
Right. I mean, that
Beyond
sucks
that,
for us.
But then the way to keep that nice and to like not sound like a monster like I just sounded is to go, beyond that, we'll see. You know, like that doesn't, but that also doesn't mean that one of those people couldn't end up being someone that I would be with. Like that, I mean, not to demean what Jess and I
so then,
are doing.
Sorry, go on.
Well, not to demean like the way we're dating, but when we started, like that's kind of how we started. She was someone that I could text that I was like, okay, we're going to have a fun time. We're being casual. It's fun. I enjoy hanging with her. And then that grows and grows. And that person takes up more of your time to a point where you go, hey, what's the deal here? And you say, okay, I am only being casual and fun with you. And then it goes on and on and on. Like if I'm looking back, there's that old saying.
It just seems like the odds are not in our favor though. So if you're like
If you're looking for
a relationship, then you just have to be like, oh, like I'm looking for a relationship. I'm not interested in having sex with like a ton of guys. Like guys are interested in having sex with a ton of girls. And like, I just have to wait to see if this guy, you know, is going to decide to invest more in me when he's having sex with all these other girls at the same time. Like, it seems like we get a pretty shitty end of the stick, right?
Well, hold on. I agree with what you're saying. The odds, first of all, are never in your favor. The odds, you know, like, and that's where it comes to, like, that's where I think, like, a lot of our emailers, where it's like, hey, just know this is the type of dude you're dealing with. I'm not, like, apologizing for it. I'm not saying it's right. I agree with you. Like, that doesn't sound like it's a great deal for a woman who doesn't want to have sex with a lot of people. But it should let you know the animal you're trying to tame. Like, I'm giving you, you know, so, like,
yeah.
So what I'm saying, my point isn't to make people feel badly. It's to say, like, hey, at some point you have to say to this person, like, I'm here for a date, but I'm not here for your DMs. You know, like I'm here for, you know, like you. Sometimes you have to turn down that call. Sometimes you have to go, hey, I'm not in for tonight. That's a date that doesn't make me feel good. Come back with a better date or don't come back at all. You know, like and that's my point where it's like there was a point with that with me and Jess where she was like, I'm not going to meet you out at 1 a.m. Figure it out. And I had to make a decision. OK, do I want to still play ball? And that's two people making their decision. It's not like, and that's not an ultimatum. That's, hey, I don't want to go on that date. That date sucks. You know, like, I think that's, and that's a hard thing to do. That's easier advice to give. And it's also like looking backwards, but like,
no, it's true. I mean, like, yeah, that's, it's just like, I think that's a great way to look at it. It's just like, you, again, you have to be mentally prepared for the guy to be like, all right, well, this
yeah,
was fun.
I mean, like, the other thing is like, you have to like stop getting 3 months in with someone who hasn't made a real effort.
Right. You know, well, like, that's why you should. That's why almost you should call people out earlier so that you can find out how they react to that earlier. And yeah, then you don't waste 3 months with them. But this guy, I'd be like, oh, this concert looks great. Is Big Booty Becky coming too?
Yeah. Is she? Yeah. Is she performing? Is she doing some sort of performance
right.
too?
I'd yeah. make it a little jokey, but I would like see how he responds to that a little
but
bit.
But that advice is so yeah. perfect and so right on because, again, stop taking it personally. He didn't send the, you know, you can joke with this and be the person that goes, like what you said is so perfect because it's an acknowledgement and it's not like you're not saying I'm taking this personally, but I am noticing.
Like, right. We're not going to pretend this didn't happen for the sake of not having to like deal with a weird conversation potentially.
Totally agree. It's like, it's growing up. My mom would always say, you're so sensitive. You're so sensitive. And I'm like, no, I just notice. I don't care either way. So it's like, if you can, and like, I think growing up, I didn't know how to put it in a way that's just like what you just said. Like the way you just said it, where it's like, is this chick coming too? Is such a perfect way to like notice, but not care. So it's like, right. It's okay to notice. It's not okay to make this about more than him sending you, because he's not thinking it's more. And the minute you right. do is now you're starting a fight out of nowhere where someone doesn't really know you enough to fight you.
Yeah. And also, you know, like the way that they respond to that will tell you like how much they care about what you thought of the fact that you saw it.
If the person takes that personally yeah. right away, you're dealing with a liar. That's okay. It's just like you just found out quicker than you would have found out later on.
Which is a good thing.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com. Let's do it. I'll read it. Hey, J&J. Love the podcast. It's been keeping me sane during these weird times. I met a guy on Hinge a month ago. We did a FaceTime date, and today I met up with him for the first time at his place. 45 minutes into Netflix and chill, things started to lead to another. We were making out, and he suggested I give him a blowjob. That's such a funny way.
I have a suggestion.
I was thinking about my penis.
I was thinking about what we should do tonight, and I thought it would be so much fun if you went down on me.
You know what pairs well with an Adam Sandler movie? My schlong.
There you go.
We were making out, and he suggested I give him a blowjob. I agreed. Okay, we have consent. He hadn't sent me any nudes below the waist, so I was excited to see what I was working with. I just imagine her taking her hands and being like, "Woo, let's see what we got." Upon further inspection, I noticed I couldn't see his testicles. They just weren't there. I was alarmed but didn't say anything. He was sitting in an awkward position on the couch, so I thought maybe that was to blame. Later in the bedroom, when he was soft, I could see them, so I know he has balls. But when he got hard again, I noticed they were nowhere to be found. Is this normal? Have either of you ever experienced this? I've never seen it in the wild before. What do you think so much, Detective Nut Be Gone? What do we think, Jordana? Have you...
balls, I love the detective.
Balls are weird, man.
Yeah, I feel like they don't get enough, like, you know, discussion.
Well, I will say this from my own personal experience with every woman I've been with where it's been close enough for her to like really analyze my balls. Women have this fun fascination with balls.
Well, they're like breasts.
Yeah, they are like they're male breasts. Are they the same size? Yeah, it is one of those things that like, you know, when you go to like a toy store and you like see like, you know, the balls that are like, you know, like the silly putty, and it's like, yeah, just stuff you can touch.
They're so cute. Like,
yeah, like it does feel like women get their chance with balls and are like, what is going on here?
I've never been very concerned with ball size.
No.
I don't think it would even bother me if someone didn't have them. I wouldn't be, because it doesn't really like for us, it doesn't really like add anything. It's not mm-hmm. like they're like big ball is like going to do anything different for you than a small ball will.
Is there a woman out there? Have you ever heard of a woman that's like, I love big balls?
I haven't heard of this person. I'm sure she exists.
I'm sure she exists. Yeah. I mean,
but yeah, I mean, I guess in the same way that they would probably like indicate fertility.
Yeah. where you're like, ooh, look at that big bald man. We could have like 7 kids from that pouch. Yeah. I don't know. I do get comments from Jess on my balls just for the idea of like sometimes they're fuller than others. So we're actually going to propose a new segment on this show based on this email. We're going to bring in a doctor every now and again to just give the scientific. So if you're out there with something that is like you'd be afraid to ask your gynecologist or your doctor, send it here, because we're going to get a doctor's opinion. Right, Jordana? We've thought about this?
Yeah. I love the name she gave. It was Detective Nut Be Gone.
Yeah. I would love to hear a doctor explain Nuts Be Gone.
Well, we have a doctor to explain them.
That's what I'm saying. We're starting a new segment. So if anyone out there...
He answered. I included his answer. Yeah, I've got his answer.
Oh my God, he was quick
in the
on
new
this.
Updated. It's in the new updated thing. I'm going to give you the whole thing. But before
Hold
I do,
on. I had the update and I didn't see it. We told you we were prepared, or Jordana's prepared.
We're prepared. We're prepared. Yeah. We're a team. We're prepared. Yeah. We wouldn't leave you guys hanging. No pun intended.
The other thing
do you have another
ball,
name for this?
Hold on. The balls are so funny. That's the other thing. Like, it is just such an awkward piece of jewelry on the human body that it is always hilarious to take a nut out of your pants. Just like
always. It never gets old, especially for you.
To me,
I would love to see if Jess agrees with that statement.
She's had to deal with, you know, a lot of bad nut jokes. I do. It is just such a funny looking contraption, and they do get bigger and smaller on me. I know that. So okay. I have also sat in a position where it looks like I have one ball. I've sat in another position where it looks like I have no balls. It sat in another position where I look like I had no penis and just balls. So I do understand where the sitting arrangement could be a problem. The name I would give this is Balls Don't Lie. Ball Don't Lie. That's kind of like a basketball pun.
I would just call it Nancy Drew in the case of the missing testicles.
What did our doctor friend say?
So we had a doctor whose daughter listens to the show. He's a urologist.
Yeah.
And he originally wrote in because he was like, oh, my daughter, let me know. You know, she told me about your show. I have a response to the guy who peed when the girl was going down on him, which apparently, like, you can't actually do.
Okay, you can't.
By accident. So that guy's really fucked up. And I would like to call that out, that he,
that's
like, remember
up.
We were debating if that was like an accident or not. If a guy ever does that, we found out it is not an accident.
Oh my God.
Because you cannot do that, like, unintentionally.
Oh my God. That's actually like, that person should be outed, right? Like, isn't that fucked up?
They should.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's fucked up. I guess that makes sense. Cause when we did talk about it, I was talking about having to pee in an L shape.
Right.
When I had a boner. So, like, I had to actively try to make that happen.
Well, I guess it makes sense. Otherwise, you would probably hear of that happening, like,
all the time. Especially to, like, young hookups. Where it's, like, you know, like, you're in high... Like, you would... If it was possible in the way that it was being told to us, I guess we would... You would... Everyone would have someone in their high school that would have a bad nickname... Because that happened to
them. They did that, right.
Yeah.
So it turns out that is not possible. And if someone does that, it is on purpose, not by accident. And you should report them to someone.
Yeah.
But for this case, we asked, we asked this doctor, he might come on in the future to talk about these issues again, but his name is Dr. Jed Kamenetsky.
Let me give his Instagram. It is at University Urologist. You're at University Urology. At University Urology. So this is a good asset to have for anyone that has questions that maybe they're embarrassed to ask at their own doctor, or if you're still going to your doctor you've been going to since you've been 7 years old, like, you know, the pediatrician.
Time to get a real urologist.
Yeah, it's time. Okay, so what did he say?
So Dr. Kamenetsky said... I sent him the email and he responded. He said he has retractile testicles.
Okay.
In some men, when they get
it sounds like a transformer.
Right.
Retractile testicles. That would be my transformer name.
He has the Nintendo Switch of testicles. You know, you can put it anywhere.
What would your transformer sex name be?
Mine?
Yeah.
I don't know, something probably pretty vanilla.
Yeah. Mine would be half hard.
Okay, I like that. Right.
All right, so let's read his response.
He goes, in some men, when they get excited, the testicles retract into the groin. He must have been very excited after a long quarantine. It's normal, nothing to worry about.
Hold on, I'm sorry to interrupt. That is the most Jewish dad response by a urologist ever. He must have been very excited after a long quarantine. Can you imagine? Like, I love that.
Well,
okay,
my friends and I used to have this joke about guys who, like, came too soon.
Okay.
We would just be like, we're so fucking hot that this guy did you come yet?
Well,
we do like a hair flip. We'd be like, did you come yet?
It was really funny, because I have hooked up with girls where I'll come in like half a, they'll like go like this, I'll go, they'll blow on my penis and I'll come right away, and then I'll be like, and then they'll be like, oh no, you were just into it. I'm like, yeah, I'm just really into it. Never happened.
Yeah, that's what I mean. When we were in college, we would be like, yeah, like, it's us. In a good way.
Exactly.
Now, I have a feeling that's not actually the case, but that was what we told ourselves.
It is.
It's normal, nothing to worry about. It's fairly common, and guys can just push them back down easily and without discomfort. There's a
I'm just imagining pushing out balls.
Let me adjust.
Plop,
you
plop.
Could have been. If only you were a urologist, you could explain this to patients.
I would be the worst urologist. So many jokes, so many like dad humor things. Just me going, yeah, just pop them out, plop, plop.
Must have been a long quarantine. There is a reflex called the cremasteric reflex. I'm definitely saying that wrong. That causes this. Hope that helps.
Awesome. I love getting this. We're gonna use this guy as a kind of a scientific backbone. We also have a gynecologist that you're gonna lean on too for us, right?
We do. I have a friend who's a newly minted gynecologist, and she's awesome. She'll be great.
If there are sex stuff that comes up with you and you're like, this is kind of scientific, we want those, is what we're saying. Because now we have people to talk to about it.
Yeah, it's actually like, I feel like there, especially for girls, there's a lot of questions you kind of like want to ask your gynecologist, but like you don't really want to like have to like talk about them with her or him.
Sure.
But you ask us, keep it anonymous. We keep it confidential. I think it could be like, we'll make some jokes, but no judgment.
We're going to ask the questions that you might be too uncomfortable asking. Like someone could listen to that and be like, you should never be uncomfortable. It's like, no, some people are. I mean, I'll never forget. I'll tell you a story. When I was probably like 26, 27, I started having blood in my stool. And I was like, oh, you know, I, as a guy, was like, rub some dirt on it, you know, whatever. Blood in the didn't really, to me, it was like, I have a cut in my butt. Like, that was really what I thought. And I went to the bathroom. I remember I came out of the bathroom. I flushed the toilet. And I think I was home. And my mom went in the bathroom. And she was like, oh, my God. Like, freaked out. She was like, there's blood in the toilet. You know, like, really embarrassing. And so she's like, you got to go to the doctor. You got to go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor. And at the time, I was going to, like, a doctor back home in Boston. So this this woman was also a professor. So she was teaching, like, doctors that to, like, had, like, so then she had someone my age going around.
Oh, she was, like, a teaching doctor. Okay.
Yeah. So, and because there's a lot of colleges back home. So, like, this is kind of the doctor I went to. And I'll never forget it. I'm, like, 27, 28, whatever age I am. She's like, what's going on? And I was like, well, there was some blood in the stool. And I just, and she starts the doctor's appointment by going, hey, do you mind if who I'm teaching goes through the whole thing? And I'm like, of course not, whatever. And it's this like young dude. Like, it's like, it looked like he would be friends with us, you know?
Okay.
And so he's like going through the questions. He's like, and you know, he's doing it like he's in school. He's doing every single question. He's like, and is there blood in the stool? And I go, well, yeah. And then he goes, and I could see him like, and in the beginning of it, he was like,
You can tell he's judging you.
Well, he goes, in the beginning of it, he was like, oh, you live in New York? Like, oh my God, like, what bars do you go to? We're like, talk about bars. And then she's like, okay, come on, let's do the real appointment. So we're already like chumming it up. And then he's like, do you have blood in your stool? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, and he like looks at her, looks at me, and she's like, we got to check. And then like this dude who is like my age now has to take his finger and shove it up my ass to see if like I have a problem and need to get a colonoscopy.
Imagine if he became your best friend.
I mean, what other way would you want to become best friends with somebody?
Exactly.
You
know, like,
so I just remember it was like that weird moment where you realize like people our age also have adult jobs.
Right.
Like, you know, you and I are talking about plopping balls out of our bodies. He's actually like becoming a human doctor.
Yeah. Medical doctor.
I just remember that moment of like making eye contact with him as he's about to like fucking like finger me, you know, just like being like, man, life comes at you fast, you know. But red flag deal breaker, you find no balls.
I'm okay with it. The balls don't do much for me. I'm not like, you know, a guy could have no balls. I'm fine with that. People
I don't know what the male equivalent is.
No breasts?
I mean, I'd be cool with that. I mean, that like kind of like in the movie, like Animal House, where she takes off the bra. It's just like has tissue paper
stuffed,
in it.
I guess.
I'm in the bed. I'm cool. You know, like, I don't know. I guess if I found like, I guess the idea of maybe like a smaller vagina.
Okay. Would you ask? Yeah. Where is your vagina?
Where I take out my monocle.
Right.
And then I'd like zoom in real close to vagina. I wouldn't say anything, but I'd get real funny with it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
Let's, you want to do some more emails?
Let's do some more emails. All right.
UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com. Go for it.
Hi, J&J. Love the podcast. Longtime listener and told everyone with dating woes to get on board already. Here's the sitch. I started talking to a guy from Hinge just before lockdown. I'm in the UK. Just before the lockdown started. And since then, we've spoken for 6 weeks and met up 3 times. Strictly speaking, we shouldn't have had physical contact during this time, but we have. Sorry. We've been talking all the time and things feel
this is
so
what
promising.
We were talking about. This is what we were talking about right at the beginning. Like, oh, okay, but we're cool, you know, which I understand.
I know we shouldn't. Right. She's like, I'm not proud of it, but, you know, we did it. Sorry. So things feel promising. Normally, I wouldn't look to define the relationship or seek exclusivity so soon. But given the actual health risk of sharing saliva with another human, am I justified in asking him not to see other people / ask where he sees this going? Or do I have to accept the risk and let things progress naturally since I put myself in this situation after all? I'm not desperate to make him my boyfriend by any means just yet. I just think it would be disrespectful if he's out there playing the field, you know, for me, safety wise. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say about this. Yours, a kiss with death.
See, this is exactly what we were talking about in the beginning. You make your own rationalization, and then you find a way to make other people evil if they don't stick to the rules that you've made for yourself. So, like, what she's saying is bullshit. She goes to a guy's place. She says she's cool with it as long as it was on her time, as long as it made sense in her life. Then she puts herself in a position where, and then she finds the gray area of the position she's put herself in to use that to her advantage to find out where the guy is and that she doesn't have to now.
This is the my lease is up of defining the relationship.
It's exactly it. This is
a great excuse to bring it up.
Yeah. And I understand what she's saying, but like, you know, I don't think the way she's written it, and I appreciate her writing in, but the way she has written it in is problematic. Like for her to go from, you know, she literally wrote, strictly speaking, we shouldn't have had physical contact during this time, but we have. Sorry. And then later in her email is, am I justified in asking him to not see other people, ask where he's been going? Or do I have to accept the risk and let things progress naturally since I put myself in the situation? It's like, where'd you get your fucking doctorate in the middle of this email?
You know, right. Like, she got the doctorate when she became like kind of attached, and she was like, this is like what a great opportunity to like get things a little more serious.
I'm not saying that she shouldn't use this as a device to get into the conversation, but like, be honest with yourself. Like, don't right. make this, you know, like I understand the idea of going to him and being like, hey, like it is the strategy, which I totally find okay, and you can do whatever the fuck you want. The strategy of going, hey, I know we hooked up once before, but I kind of got weird afterwards. I feel weird about it. I don't really think, especially not knowing what you're up to, I think we shouldn't hook up again since, you know, you might be seeing other people and I don't want to get more at risk for the virus. I would go, right. Okay, that's an honest thing, because you're going, I don't feel comfortable. Anyone can hook up and feel differently about the person after hooking up or the situation. I understand that. I'm not saying she's wrong for that. But don't like, I think the way I just put it is more vulnerable to say, like, hey, you could do whatever you want. You can hook up with whatever you want, but I just don't feel comfortable doing that again. My bad, right, the first time.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would hurt her if she felt, I think it would hurt her to find out that he's like, oh, like, that he would be like, oh, okay. Well, like, yeah, I wouldn't want to promise you, like, that I'm not, like, the answer she wants from that is like, well, I'm cool with like not hooking up with other people and just kind of like, yeah, making this an exclusive thing, which would be great. It might not be the answer you get, but I think, like, again, you have to, like, kind of in the vulnerable sense, just kind of be ready to hear that the person is not down for that and not make it about them and make it about you.
Yeah. I think that's a great answer. Yeah. I think also if someone came to me and was like, hey, I don't really feel comfortable, like, my response is not going to be the one she would want to hear. My response would be like, hey, totally understand. Shoot me a text after this is all over when you do feel comfortable. That's how I would respond. And then, right, that doesn't mean I don't care about this person. That doesn't mean I don't want to see them again. That just means I'm not going to sit here and like sign up for your, you know, the contract that you just slid across the table with a bunch of small writing that makes it so I owe you everything.
I mean, that's one way to put a relationship.
Well, no, but this is...
That's a good Hallmark card.
Thanks for slipping that small writing contract. But my point isn't to say that, like, that's what all relationships are, but that's the position she's putting the guy in.
Right, but I'm saying, there's a chance he's down for it. It's not likely, but it's possible.
But also, if there's a chance he's up for it with that mindset, don't make it about the virus. Don't make it...
That was my other point, was like, think to yourself, like, would you want to have this conversation if the virus was like not a thing? Let's say, okay, you were just seeing someone for 3 months and you felt like you were like sleeping with them and you felt like you were getting closer and you wanted to see where their head was at. Like, would you have that conversation at that point, or would you, like, regardless of the virus? And if you would, I think it's fine to say something.
Yeah.
And if you wouldn't, like, I would do it the way that that you said to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the way I said is really a strategy to, like, mask your lack of confidence, which I totally understand. But, like, admit to that. Don't, right, you know, don't do that and then go around. Like, what bothers me about this email is I can hear her going to her friends and being like, well, I'm just not going to hook up with someone who's playing the field while there's a virus going on. It's like, hold on,
to make her... Yeah. To make yourself the hero. Yeah.
You're not a hero. You legitimately wrote, I'm reading an email where you wrote, well, I know we shouldn't touch, but sorry. You know, again.
This right. It's funny. We're all the heroes when it comes to like not going back into our office jobs, but like not with like going to the beach on the weekend.
Yeah. So it's like, I again, this is like kind of the topic of this podcast, because we started out talking about how, like, you know, the virus is we have all been awarded a child level excuse. Like, mm-hmm, like you're friends with kids that you're like, hey, come out this weekend. They go,
my mom
the kids
said no.
Yeah. Right. The kids.
I was saying like you are the kid and you could just be like, my mom doesn't want me to go.
That's the best excuse in the book. It's, you know, the virus is your mom. The virus is, I can't find a sitter. Because this is, again, this is a podcast of luxury issues. So when you have luxury issues, the virus becomes your solving the luxury issues of your day.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's
a
good excuse.
It's tough for us to admit that because we're like, because we know we don't have the real problems. You know, like.
Right.
So,
which is like a nice problem to have. Yeah.
The best problem to have. Let's do some more emails. UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com. Ready?
I'm ready.
J&J, my boyfriend, 30, and I, 28, have been dating for 4+ years, living together for 2 of them. We've had some good talks about the future, and he has said he sees marriage, kids in our future, but isn't ready to get engaged yet and can't give me a timeline. Meanwhile, I'm ready for the next step, but not in a rush. However, over the last few months, 4 couples we are friends with have gotten engaged after dating half as long as we have, and I'm not handling it well. I'm genuinely happy and excited for them and act totally normal on Zoom celebrations and don't talk to them about my own relationship insecurities.
It's so funny. What else would you do? Just be like hysterically crying on the Zoom, like, I'm engaged.
That's fun. Good for you. Good. You're in your little box. Just like, yeah, must be nice. You're just the miserable one?
Smiling through your tears, just streaming.
I'm so happy. Clenched teeth. I'm so happy for you. It's just such a funny... I love how honest the email is because I
appreciate it. Thank you for the honesty.
Because as dishonest as the last email was, is as honest as this one is. But yeah. Later in bed that night, I usually start getting upset, wondering why other couples are ready for that step already, but we aren't yet. He has started getting upset with me that I compare our timeline relationship to others and that it's making him feel pressured. The insecure side of me that worries he feels pressured because he doesn't want this with me, and if he did want to marry me, he would know by now. He reassures me that it is just about him being scared about the pressures of deciding to spend the rest of his life with someone. And isn't about him being unsure about me or a relationship and that he just needs more time. For the record, he said there's nothing about his job or finances that is making him not feel ready for marriage, and most of his friends are engaged and married. I want a good relationship with him more than a ring/wedding, and I'm definitely not trying to pressure him, but I also want to be partners for life and have a family someday. I fear that I may be self-sabotaging here because my reactions are negatively impacting my confidence in my relationship. How do I gain back my confidence in what we have and stop getting upset every time another couple takes this next step? Next step seemingly light years faster than us. Thanks. I know green isn't flattering. Oh, green with envy.
Yes.
That's a very smart sign off.
This seems like a very smart,
yeah,
self-aware person.
You know when you get something and you like feel smarter because you got it? I feel that way right now. Like the idea that I got that, I was like, wow.
Green is jealous. Yes. Yeah.
Wow. I'm good. I'm smart. Yeah. So what do you think, Jordana? This is tough.
I want to thank this girl for writing in, and I want to say that I think that this is like one of those things that a lot more people than she thinks go through that no one really talks about. Mm-hmm. I think everyone just sees the Instagram engagement picture and they're like, she was so surprised. Like, look at this guy. He's just been dying to marry her. And like, how lucky is she that he just like surprised her in this crazy way. And like, it's so romantic, and like no one sees like the behind the scenes discussions that go on around that kind of thing.
The fights, the everything she just described to us has happened for couples across the country every night of the week.
100%. I mean, personally, like that's happened, that I've gotten in those discussions too. I think like whenever you have two people who aren't on the exact same timeline, there's a little friction. That's like normal, and that's like totally okay.
Let me ask you a few questions because from the female side, do you have those when you see someone get engaged? Is it immediately, oh my God, I'm behind them?
It's like in this race.
What is your immediate emotional, human, no judgment response when a friend says we're engaged?
I think like this girl, I'll take into consideration before I decide how I feel about it. I take into consideration how long they've been dating. I think naturally, and I would be lying if I said I didn't, I compare every engagement timeline to my own. Mm-hmm, because that's just kind of how we're wired. And like, that is like a thing that women tend to compete on. And it is a thing that, I mean, it shouldn't be that. I don't think it should be that way. I'm not saying like, this is the way that like, that is good. But I do think that there's, and I consider myself a pretty independent thinker.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's very tough to be in a world, especially in that like 28 to 32 zone, where everyone around you seems to be like getting this thing, which you're ingrained to be like, this is the holy grail of like, of female life success. And you're kind of like, well, when is it my turn? When is it like, you know what I mean? And even as someone who, again, tries to like think that I'm in some ways above that, I'm not immune to that either. I think there's a sense of like, I think you also have a sense of like, what are other people thinking about the fact that I'm not engaged?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Like, do they think we are in this, like that I'm just putting up with this experience that isn't going anywhere? Like, do they think you're quote unquote weak for not being stronger to the
guy's
idea?
Yeah. Like stringing this person along and they don't like her that much, but it's like,
totally, and
it's funny because I know so many people who are engaged or married, and like almost all of them have had moments where this like tension of like, usually, not always, but usually it's the woman who's ready for it a little earlier than the men. From what I've seen, this is just in my circle of people, is what I've seen is that the girl's ready for it a little earlier. The guy wants like a little more time to like.
Sure.
I don't think it's like a person again. Like, why are you doing this to me? I do think it's like a, why are you doing this? And like a lot of, I mean, my boyfriend is the same age as me. So in, I think there's a sense of like, as a 30-year-old woman, you're in a little bit more of a rush than a 30-year-old man.
Sure.
And I think there's always like a little bit of a like, you know, but I think the important thing going back to this email is like that you have a sense of how long they do feel like they need to date someone before they get engaged to them. Because if someone's being like very vague, that to me is more of the issue than them being like, I'm not ready to do this at this moment.
Yeah. I mean, I see eye to eye with the guy. The one thing I kind of stopped when I was reading it that kind of like stuck out to me is like, you guys are together. Like, I think like, I guess maybe the reasoning I would give is different than the one he gives, like understanding his position. But he says, because he doesn't want it with the insecure side of me that worries that he feels pressure because he doesn't want this with me. And then if he did want to marry me, he would know by now. He reassures me that it's just about him being scared about the pressure of deciding to spend the rest of his life with someone. And it isn't about him being unsure about me and our relationship. See, like, the idea of... There's, like, kind of two different camps. There's this, like, guy that's, like, afraid of, like, I have to spend the rest of my life with someone. And if we don't die together, I've automatically disappointed this person. I do understand that, but that's not really... Like I think like there's this like gnawing feel like, it, you know, I've always said that or I've started saying recently that I want an older bachelorette, you know, the show The Bachelor.
Yeah.
The show The Bachelor, it's all 22-year-old women. So like I think 22-year-old woman is kind of like the worst representation of the female race. Like it's the most like it's the loudest. It's the most, you know, crying. It's the most, you know what I mean? It's like it's kind of, and for men, the worst representation of us is like 55. Like
okay,
when it's
why
like
is that?
Because you're 55, but you still think you're young and you still like think you can fuck and you start wearing like. You try to dress younger than you really are.
Oh, and you're trying, right, yeah.
And it's like you've made some money, so you have some confidence from, like, having made a lot of money. You know, like, I think our...
They're
like,
both overly confident. 22-year-old girls, overly confident. 55-year-old guys also think they know everything.
And that's not... Exactly. And that's not to say that, like, all other version of men don't act confidently. I'm just saying that's when it really gets embarrassing because it's, like, an old guy wearing, like, the shirt with the cuffs that have the paisley under the cuffs... Yeah, and it's like a lot, and you're like, and wearing sneakers with jeans, like so. That's why I think like an older bachelorette would be more fun and would actually like even out the stakes. Like it would actually make it even for like male
everyone.
And female.
Everyone's in their 30s.
Everyone's embarrassed. Like you know, like right. I would watch that and be like. So I think like a lot of men have this thing feeling of like, when does this like idea of like checking out the random chick that walks by go away? When do I like lose that? And it's like, you kind of never do. Like you see it in, you know, like, and that's, right. I think that's scary to a lot of men. It's like, man, I don't want to be wrong by this person. I also, when does this fucking sickness of being a fucking animal go away? And it's like, I do understand that feeling. But then there's the other feeling of like, and she says his career and the financial stuff isn't a problem. But like, we know that one thing comes after the other. So, like, the minute he gets engaged is when is the wedding? The minute you get the wedding, when is the honeymoon? The minute you get done with the honeymoon, when do you move into the suburbs? The minute you get done with the suburbs, when do you have the first baby? When are you having the second baby? Are you going to have a third? Okay, where are you going to send him to camp? Where are you going to send him to school? And none of us, like, as far as, like, we just know one precedes the other. And if you stop the first thing, you won't be at the fifth thing. So... Like there, because like I see, like you know, for me, I personally see.
What
like,
is the big fear of like doing all those things though? Like to me, like those are things that I'm looking forward to doing.
Sure, the fear is that you're so weighted down that you have no option to be in the lane that you've already chosen when you were 27. So,
okay.
Like as far as like, well, I think of it like career wise. Maybe this guy's thinking of it a different way, where it's like, okay, You're not traveling. You're done with Thailand if you guys get engaged. You have one chance at Thailand, and it's to be fucking on your honeymoon, Thailand. That's it. You're not going to Thailand at 37 with 2 3-year-olds. You're not going. You're going when you're 80 and you're on your last cruise before you die. So I think like this idea of like, you know, like I'm just giving a personal, right. You know, like I'm just saying like I see it from stand-up comedians, like stand-up comics, like I see like that haven't made a life for themselves. They don't have an audience. They don't have a TV show. They don't have like a deal with a network or a Netflix or anything. And they're like, I'm having a kid. And I'm like, how the fuck are you doing that? Like, I'm sure a kid will add to their life, but like, you know, like their mobility from a comedy standpoint to me is like, you don't really have that. You know, now there's something that comes before your dream, that comes before your career. And it's like, you know, where I'm sure women think this way too, but I'm saying from my perspective, like there is an idea of like the end. This is the end of me being in control of my life, because it, you know, like how
it's
many.
It's funny that men think of it that way, just because for me, like one thing has almost nothing to do with the other. I mean, sure, you want to be like financially stable before you have a family, but like that to me is like the extent of it.
Yeah, I just think like it you become like. I mean, look at the family dynamics that usually occur. It's the mom runs the house, runs the whole house, runs the whole thing. Schlubby dad in the background that can't even dress himself. The kids are everything you talk about, and dad gets thirds on, you know, like gets thirds at dinner. You know what I mean? Like
that's not the life that men want.
Well, I'm not saying it's not what they want, but there is a moment where you have to come to terms with that. Like there is a Chris Rock bit about like dad gets the big chicken wing, and it's like that's all you get, you know, like when you're the dad. Yeah. And listen, these are all I could understand how someone could hear me saying this and go, well, that's old. And it's like, yeah, I'm just giving you what the society things have kind of like.
Well, in the same way, right? In the same way that, again, we're the ones who are all pressured. You know, men aren't, your friends aren't like to like are asked, your friends aren't coming to you and being like, well, Jared, where's the ring?
Yeah, none of them.
We're not, like, you know,
and if
like
they do, it's a huge fucking joke. They're like, oh, going on vacation with the girlfriend. What's next? And I'm like, and then we all laugh and then drink and high five about, you know,
right.
Hot
no,
chicks
that's
walking
not,
by.
That's not what it's like for us. For us, no. it's like if you again, if you're not moving forward, everyone starts to talk.
Yeah. I'm sure you have
a friend who's been at the same level of his job for 10 years.
Sure.
And you're kind of like, is that guy ever going to like get a better job?
Well,
or like
people could be saying that about me. I'm 35 on a podcast talking about dating. I'm sure people say that about, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like
not really. I mean, like when, you've progressed, you've got, you know what I mean? You do tours, but I'm saying. Yeah.
I know what you're saying, but I also know that like I could be that person as someone like, oh, he's really, I had a guy yesterday. I'm fucking getting food. He goes, this guy looks at me. He's like, you still doing the I hadn't seen him since we went abroad together, and we knew each other after school, and like I know him, we have friends in common. He goes, you still doing the comedy thing? It's like, yes, my whole fucking life, you know. And it's like, you know, like this is like, yeah. And he's like, oh man. And I was like, and he's like, so like, you know, you doing a lot of Zoom comedy shows? It's like, dude, stop asking me questions that make me want to fucking kill myself, you know. You know, like, right. But
that feeling right there is kind of when someone, I would say, like, if you're dating someone for 4 years and you're 31 and a girl's like, oh, so like, what's going on with you and Brad? Like, are you do you get when, like, are you guys going to get married soon? And you're like,
yeah,
that's kind of like, that's like, kind of like, stop asking me questions to make me want to kill myself.
I know. Right. And it's like,
I'll let you know when I figure it out.
Yeah. Like the idea that this guy doesn't know I do comedy still, it's like, yeah, that you haven't done shit then. Because like to him, it's like, there's either a Google News item about Jared Fried signs a $500 million deal with Spotify, or I don't do this. You know, there's no in between. So, but
everything else is a failure, right?
Everything else is a failure. So I do understand, but I'm like, you know, she asks, how do I gain back confidence in what we have? I'm only speaking and kind of, I know I'm rambling at this point, to say, like, I'm trying to be more vulnerable and honest than maybe her boyfriend can be with her. to like say, here are my fears. Maybe his are 10% away from me, but they're not 100% away. You know, I think that those are
very common male fears of like, you know, this is like a very final
thing.
And it's almost weirder that we don't have that. Or there's fewer women that I know anyway that have that same final fear.
But Jordana, you're a very successful career woman. Like to hear that you don't have, like, you're like, no, I don't. Like it is interesting that you don't have like a similar feeling that like the minute we get engaged means we have to have babies at some point in the near future, which means my life is now secondary to this child's life.
Maybe,
you know,
maybe I've just been like so trained to like want those things.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Right? No, I think that's weird too. Sometimes I'm like, oh, like. Why is this the most, this is like, I don't know if it is like a genetic thing or a biological thing or like an ingrained societal thing. It's probably some combination of the three. But for me, it's just like, yeah, I'll figure it out. Like, this is what I want. Like, and I also like, I want I think I'm planning, I'm thinking of like the next 10 years and I'm like into that. I'm like, yeah, this is the life I want in 10 years. And I think if you spoke to my boyfriend, he'd be like, this is the life I want in 5 months. Like, I don't think that like they're that he's thinking in as grand of a way as I am.
Yeah.
A lot of things. Yeah.
I would agree. Cause I don't, I mean, we came out here, we were 5 minutes after we drove into Montauk after like the worst day ever, the rental car broke down. And then Jess is looking out the window being like, we should move here. And I'm like, I am so far away. Yeah. I hope to God. And it's like, you know, there is a thought where it's like, she says we should move here. And it's like, when you're 22, you can. I remember I have one friend who came up to me and he was like, we were drinking and he was engaged and getting married. And it was interesting to hear his thought of like, that he was like, well, I'm not going to be a billionaire. Like, you know, like he was like, and it's like, of course, none of us are going to be billionaires. Like you're more likely to not be a billionaire than you are to be a billionaire. Fine.
Right.
But the idea that he's like, his dreams are more realistic, like it is so interesting. And it's so real to me because, you know, Jess, we drive through here and she's like, we should move out here and then we can live, you know, and I'm like, yeah, that at 25, maybe I thought that was like I'd have a Netflix special by the time I was 29 and I could, and you know, like, and have, you know what I mean? Like I'd be like, now at 35, I'm like, yeah, I hope I can come here a week again next summer. You know, like, you know, like the dream changes. So like, and not to say that like life doesn't change, you know, like I'm saying from my perspective where I'm doing something that's very, very, entrepreneurial. Like I am doing my own business, whereas someone else might be in the position where they're like, you know, her boyfriend, this girl that's writing in, he might be on like track for partner at a law firm or at a accounting firm. And, you know, the idea that like to be president of the company, he's got to stay at he has to bill so many more hours than the next person. And the reason he can bill that many more hours than the next person is because he doesn't have a kid at home that he wants to go back home and see. And for him, putting off this marriage or this engagement is also him putting off seven other things in the future that also come with it. You know, like I think that's kind of where
I think that's an inch, but like in a practical matter, like, what do you feel like she should do? Like,
I don't. That's
what's
why
the best way to approach this a man about this kind of thing.
This is why I'm kind of rambling because I'm just trying to like I'm trying to be as vulnerable as possible to like kind of let her inside the head space that he might be in. If I was her, like, you know, maybe this conversation between you and I makes her feel more comfortable knowing that she's not alone.
Right.
I would also say, like, you know, are you enjoying everything else? Like, let's set aside, you know, like. I think
it sounds like she is, but I also don't. I mean, I think like that's what she said. Like she said, like, I, you know, everything, I'd rather, I'm happy with this relationship. Like it's going really well. But I don't think that means just because like you are enjoying what you have now that you can't like want a certain life for yourself and like feel like you're within your rights to have it, or no, at least have a sense of like when the other person's going to like.
Listen, if we meet you halfway. I agree. If we had the answer, there'd be a lot of people that would be like with different partners right now. You know, like I couldn't honestly give an answer that's like, I just know that this guy is afraid of very normal thing. And right. But the one thing I'll say is that when he says it's about being with someone the rest of my life, I think that's a more worrisome, because the other ones are tangible. This is kind of when he says it's like being with someone, like he's not sure of the idea of marriage. She says he wants a marriage and kids, and then he goes, I don't know. And then his reasoning for not getting engaged right away is that he can't see himself married forever. It's like, okay, he just kind of went against what he just said.
Well, is it that he, right? I guess is the question that he can't see himself married to someone forever, is the question that he can't see himself married to her? What I would do is just go into it vulnerable. Be like, hey, like, we've been dating for 4 years. Like, I'm ready to take the next step with you. I love you. Like, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I understand that, like, we've talked about this before and, like, you have some reservations, but, like, let's talk them out. Like, I want this to work and I want us to, like, move forward, but, like, I don't really feel like I have a sense of, like, where you see our relationship going, or like when you would like to take the next step. I get that it's scary. I get that, like, the idea of committing to one person forever is not like an easy thing. And it would be weird if it was easy. It'd be weird if you were like jumping into this immediately.
Sure.
But I do feel like, you know me, I feel like we've been dating for a long time. So like, let's just talk about it and come, if you come into it from a way that's like, not like, and why won't you marry me? And
I've had those.
You know what I mean? You know, like, I've had those nights where I've been like, I can't sleep. And I'm like, and the next morning I'm like, where's my ring? Like,
yeah. Well, I think what you're saying is right. I would feel more comfortable in that conversation. I would also like, I know this seems like, and tell me if this is a crazy thing to say, but like, I'd be open to ending it. I think like this idea of ending it, to me, it sounds like someone would say those things to someone because they're afraid of hurting them if this doesn't work out. So like,
right. Well, I'd give them the out. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I think people, again, like I say this all the time, I think ultimatums get such a bad rap, but what an ultimatum is really saying is like, this is what I want. Do you want this too? Because like, if not, then we want different things. Do you know what I mean?
I think like also like, and if she's going to go into that conversation, here's a mistake she's making already, is comparing her number of years versus the friend's number of years.
Right. You can't go down that route.
You can't
guys
go down
always
that
have
road.
A very, very good, yeah, very, no, no, they have a very no, no, no. good.
That will become the fight. That's the, you're using jujitsu in a boxing match. You need to choose a different fighting style than saying,
also,
we've been 4.5, everyone else has been 2.5. I would not respond well to that argument.
I also don't think that makes men feel like you want to get married because you want to be with them. I think it
totally agree.
From what I've heard and seen is like, what that makes men feel like is like, you just want to marry anyone.
Yeah.
And like, you want to be part of the club and they're your ticket to get into the club. And I don't think anyone wants to feel that way.
I will say, I totally agree. That's how I would feel.
I understand I understand that feeling though of like, because you can't.
That is the one thing you get when you grow up, is that I realize why women want to get married around the same time, or why sisters want to be married around the same time, is because they want to go through. There's things that you, with having kids and with marriage, that you can't go through with your husband. And it's more fun, I can understand, to go through motherhood with a group of people that you've grown up your whole lives with. Like, I do understand that more now that I'm older than I did when I was younger, where it's like, I see, you know, you see the women that get like their maternity leave and they're walking babies together, and you go, oh, okay, how great is that, that they're doing that with someone they've known since they were in kindergarten. Like, that is a beautiful thing. I think a guy can see that and understands that. That's kind of why so many girls write into here and go, well, he says he's not ready. It's like, yeah, because he knows that everyone else around you is ready, and he knows that he's going to get that this is on your mind. You know what I mean? Like, we know this is why we're like kind of in tune to the timing of the women that we date. But I think comparing yourself to anyone else is a bad way to go. I think saying to him, like, I love you, I'm ready to take this next step. But if you're not ready for that next step and you can't see it with me, I need you to let me go. I need you to let me go. And obviously I'm going to be hurt. Obviously you're going to be hurt. But right now we're in that area, that zone of like, I don't know what else there is to check on.
Right. And I think there's a difference between someone being like, yeah, like this is what I want too. And I want that with you. And like, just be a little patient with me. Like it'll happen in like within X timeline. I think like timelines are not sexy or like romantic, but I do think that they give you a sense of like, okay, like this person wants this. If they need a little time, like that's fine. It's not a big deal. But if it's like, they're not sure if this is a thing that like they can see happening or they have and no idea when, and you've been dating for 4 years, I think that's like sort of the bigger issue.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like the idea that like he hasn't thought about this is crazy. Like,
right.
You know, like this
you've
is
you've been dating someone for 4 years and it's not even like you have no sense of when you'd like to marry them.
And there is like another thing that plays into this is laziness. Like, is he being lazy because he doesn't want to, you know, like he doesn't want to date anyone else either and get to this point, or he doesn't want to move out of his place. And it's that's a not sexy thing to think about. Yeah, it's I think she's got to approach him with her own. I think she's got to come to terms that this might be over too. And this is a long, we just talked a long way, but I think you always have to be at the negotiation table ready to get up. And if you're not.
Right. Which is so hard to do after that period of time though, too, a sense of like cutting your losses. Like you invested like so much time with this person, which is a reason to even do that even sooner.
Well, because if he doesn't think she'll get up from the negotiation table, that's probably a reason he's staying in too.
Right, because he can do whatever he wants. Yeah.
Well, that and it's like, oh my God, she's never gonna leave. I'm fucked. you know, like it doesn't matter how bad this relationship is, she'll never leave. You know,
why doesn't he leave?
I don't know. Because he's afraid of disappointing. So I don't know. I think you got to sit with this person. That's, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think you have to get to like, you have to get him to give you an answer that makes actual sense to you, or that like you can understand, because now, right now, whatever he's saying is like a little bit vague. I would just make him feel like he can be super vulnerable. Not if you're come at him, not angry. If you come at him, like just wanting to connect and understand where he's like what he's thinking and where he's coming from. I think people are much more likely to like give you a non-bullshitty answer to something you want to know.
Also, the idea that like if he does say something vulnerable, if you open the door to like, if this has to end, it has to end, then you can't accuse him. I was like, are you trying to break up with me? Like then that's the moment where you're not getting real answers. You're not having real talks. Because I've been in that scenario where it's like where, you know, this boogeyman of being broken up with is being held over your head. It's like, well, yeah, that's a possibility. That's not the craziest thing in the world to happen.
Right. That just means like I'm not going to just take whatever is given to me.
Sure. So
yeah,
it's tough. This is easier for us to talk about than it is.
Very, very tough to do. Yeah.
So you ready to play some games?
I just do want to let her. I am. Oh, I just want to let her know that this is like this tension of like when and like the timing and like that kind of stuff. Like, I feel like that is a very common thing. Again, you don't see it on Instagram. No one writes that in the caption.
Listen, but Jess and I moved in together, what, 2 months ago, a month and a half ago? Every day I go to sleep is a night closer to this problem than I was before. So.
And just the fact that you're calling it a problem is indicative of the amount of people that, you know.
Well, yeah.
It's usually not guys just like rushing to do this thing as soon as they possibly can. Sometimes it is. But what I've seen, it's usually not.
Listen, if you were on a date with a guy where you were happy he paid for the first date, then again, this all makes sense. Because who do you think thinks they're taking the tab? So it's right. Like if you expect it on the first date, then they're expecting it on another in other circumstances too.
Right. All right, let's do some games.
Uh-huh. UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com, especially because I'm running out of battery. I keep looking at my thing.
So that's my floor right now.
Yeah. Let's play some games. Red flag deal breaker asks you to Purell your genitalia before sex. This is grosser for women than men. Like me doing it to my penis, I'd be like, okay, it's kind of funny and it's cold.
Would that hurt?
I'm sure it wouldn't feel good if I got it in like the hole, but I think I'd have to
explain to them like how bacteria works and like how things are transmitted.
Isn't the deal breaker that's their level of understanding of how germs get transferred?
Yeah, that's probably is the deal breaker, I think, is that they're kind of like, this will solve, you know, well, we'll use two condoms.
Yeah. That's this is the same person. This
you're
is
not also, dealing with someone with...
Like, also the idea that, like, they think you're trash. Like, you know, they're like, oh, Purell those balls. Ew.
Right. Or that, like, yeah, they think that, like, you're just, like, a dirty person, I think would be a little insulting also. And that's how they think you're going to be less dirty. All right. What if they wear gloves not only when they're leaving the house to go to the supermarket, but they wear them around the house?
I think the gloves are actually crazy. Like, I think...
Even outside?
Even I think... That's my personal opinion, and someone could think I'm the dumbest. But I've read a couple articles, and who knows what the fuck I read. But the idea that you're gonna like touch a surface and then lick your finger, you know, like it's such a connective thing. I got tested a few weeks ago, and I traveled every week, January, February, March, leading up to this. And then I have been careful but not crazy, and I've never had it based
You're
on
negative.
This test. I'm negative for antibodies, all that stuff. So I've been careful but not crazy. So that's why the gloves thing, I'm like, if I haven't gotten it yet, then without wearing gloves ever and with washing my hands a normal amount, like I'm not even the person that's like, my hands are so dry from all the washing. Like I'm not even that person. So like, I kind of like live in the land of like, this is a deal breaker for me. Like your life is too different for me to handle.
Yeah, I think it would be like a little much for me. I think I'd be fine for it if I could just make fun of them constantly and be like,
fine,
don't forget
your
driving gloves.
That's an even trade to me. I agree with that.
Right. But I wore plastic gloves when I took the subway that one time.
Okay.
When I recorded in March.
But that makes sense to me.
I felt like a loser the whole time.
One last one. They lose their phone when they're drunk multiple times a year.
Okay. I think at 22, I would be fine with this.
Sure.
And now I'm like, this isn't the father of my children, to bring this full circle.
Listen.
What if that was the baby?
Yeah. Well, this is like someone, Jess referenced like not having the right cards in her purse, like when women switch purses and then they forget all their stuff. And I'm like, that is one of those problems that men have very difficult times empathizing with. Like the idea that you're like, oh, all my stuff is in my other purse. And it's like, you've just been walking around with an empty fucking purse. You didn't even think to look inside. Like the idea of not going keys, wallet, phone to me is like crazy. I'm with you. It's an age thing. If you're losing it multiple times a year. And the thing is, the other thing is like, when you're dating someone who loses their phone, your day is ruined too.
Right. Cause then you're just like, how are we going to do this?
You're their iPhone. That's the problem. And it's like, Jess lost her phone once and I almost left her at the side of the highway. I was like, this is almost over. But
one time a year I'll allow. Everyone makes mistakes.
I'll give you once a year. Yeah.
Yes, agreed. All right.
Well, we did it again. We solved dating. Jordana, always great catching up with you.
This was so fun. Enjoy your time out east. When are you coming back?
I'm coming. We're figuring it out. We're probably
never.
We're moving here down a little street with a red brick road.
Hampton's local now.
Yeah. I'll be back at some point. So.
Okay. Great.
When are you coming back?
Like mid-June, probably.
Oh, wow. This is a trip.
Yeah.
Very nice.
This is a stay.
Listen, for people out there, keep sharing. If you're here this long, you like this podcast, I'm assuming, post it on your Instagram story. Tag a bitch. UUP at betches.com. We're here every Wednesday. Keep spreading the word.
You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.